Welcome to the best damn hunting podcast on the planet. Welcome to HuntCast. And now your host, TJ Schaefer.
What's up, guys? It's TJ Schaefer. Thank you for tuning into the HuntCast once again. This is episode, I'm not really sure what episode it's going to be because we've recorded so many the last couple of days, and I don't know what order I'm going to release them in, so it'll just surprise you when it comes out. But what's cool is I got my brother back. What's up, Paul?
What's up, y'all?
And our special guest for the day is a good old dear friend of mine, Mr. Craig Ferrand.
Hey, guys. How are y'all?
Yeah, dude. Craig's in the house. And Craig, what you guys don't realize is we had recorded a whole episode. Craig is like a master pit master.
That's right.
Can you say it like that? Master pit master?
Just pit master.
It sounds a little better, though, if you throw master in there on top.
What about, what's the difference between master and boss, pit master? Same thing, right?
Sort of, sure.
Okay. Well, anyway, we did an episode on wild game and barbecue. Craig was our guest, and because of my excellent audio engineering skills, it sounded like we were talking in the Grand Canyon with an echo. And so we had to trash that episode, and it's taken so long. And that's probably, I don't know, probably 8 months ago we did that. Yeah. And, anyway, we're back, and unfortunately, we're going to talk a little, we're going to talk a little barbecue in a minute, but unfortunately, the reason why Craig is in today is because kind of the subject of our episode. As some of you guys know that, that follow us on Instagram and Facebook, I had a loss in the family last week, and that was my baby girl, Maya, my black lab, who was 13 years old. And Craig's on the episode because this Craig knew Maya pretty well, as you know, and she hunted with us. We had a good time with this dog, and so I wanted him to kind of come back on and just be a part of the episode as we talk about Maya. And like I said, we'll get into some barbecue and stuff in a minute. But man, y'all been doing okay? Everything going all right, Paul?
Yeah, man, everything's going good in my world.
Paul's
man.
A new owner of a home.
That's right. I bought my first house. And it was. You know, if I had to pick between going back to college and redoing all that or going through the process of buying a home, I would definitely go back to college. That was the most stressful month of my life, trying to fill out papers to be a new homeowner. But I did it. The weight's lifted off my shoulders, and I'm thinking to myself, why'd it take me so long to buy a house?
And you got a pool.
I got a pool. Craig's got a pool, too.
Craig's got a pool. I don't have a pool. I got a creek.
There you go.
You know, so we all got water in common. But you know, Craig, you doing okay? Tell us a little bit about yourself.
Yeah, everything's going good. I am owner of Ferrand Family Barbecue. We're doing a lot of caterings in our area. Staying busy with that. Also got two kids and a wife. Guess I should mention that.
Yes.
I've been married for 20 years, so just living the dream, having fun. Glad to be here today.
Yeah, well, we're glad to have you, dude. Me and Craig, we basically waterfowl hunted together for probably 5 or 6, 7 years, something like that. I mean, there was a time in my life that a lot of our listeners know that all I did was duck hunt. Anytime I had open opportunity, I was on the water and we were duck hunting. We duck hunted Wright Patman Lake up by Texarkana, which, yes, I'm naming lakes, so y'all can all suck it.
Well, is that a bad thing to do?
Yeah, so duck hunters don't like to name lakes.
Why?
Because they don't, you know, they don't want people knowing where they killed ducks at.
Well, I wouldn't say we killed many ducks, but we did hunt.
They ain't no ducks on Wright Patman anyway. But yeah, dude, people will like take photos of themselves in their boat with a bunch of ducks lined up.
Yeah.
And then they'll like take Microsoft Paint and scratch out the background in black.
What?
So you can't see with the background. I mean, it's stupid.
That is
so
dumb.
Stupid.
Silly.
But anyway, yeah, we got in several yelling matches on the lake of people setting up too close to us and all kinds of stuff. But
hunting public water is not much fun anymore.
No. It's, you know, and this is something, Craig, you and I hunted together pre-Duck Dynasty and then post-Duck Dynasty
as well. Yeah.
Pre-Duck Dynasty was a freaking blast.
Yeah.
And yeah, there was other people on the water, but everybody was respectful. You know, we all had that unwritten rule of, you know, if you're running late, don't set up next to somebody, or don't set up next to somebody anyway.
Right.
You know, and if there's ducks working on our decoys, someone else wouldn't blow a call at it. But post Duck Dynasty,
it was ridiculous.
Yeah, it was a whole different level of stupidity, which I'm all for new hunters getting involved and being a part of hunting. You know, I mean, that's what it's about. We need to get more people hunting. But, dude, you know, if you're going to start hunting, find somebody to mentor you.
Absolutely.
You know, and
we did the same thing.
Yeah, we did. Dustin Stringer, he kind of mentored me in duck hunting on Wright Patman, you know, and told, you know, showed me, which he didn't really tell me. You know, only thing he told me was you got to buy gas for the boat, you know, because ain't nobody get a free ride.
Right.
Yeah.
I've heard that before.
I pay the insurance. I pay the boat payment. I'm doing all this. You're at least going to put gas in a boat. So, but you know, that's the right thing to do.
And buy breakfast.
You got to buy breakfast. OTs, man.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. So
yeah.
Anyway, Craig and I duck hunted a lot together. And you know, this dog, Maya, you know, and I hate even saying this dog because I would say a week ago, I would have said this dog, you know, but she passed away Friday, probably around 3 o'clock at our house in our living room. And, you know, it's definitely been, it's probably one of the hardest things. It is one of the hardest things I've ever gone through, if not the hardest. Hmm. We've lost, you know, Paul and I have lost loved ones. We've lost family members. Craig, I'm sure you've lost family members. And those times are very, very difficult. And I'll tell you what, we lost, Paul, you and I lost our grandfather about 2 years ago.
Yeah.
Actually, I think next month will be a 2-year mark. And he, I guess that's really the first relative that was super close to us that we lost. And it was very, very difficult, you know, just because of the level of respect we had for that man. I mean, he was a man's man, in my opinion.
Right.
He ate fatty steaks and, you know, back in the day, smoked a lot of cigarettes, and, you know, I mean, he was a man's man. He worked at the freaking jail for a while, county jail. I mean, this dude was pretty legit, and so I looked up to him. Losing him was very, very difficult. But what I've come to realize is in losing Maya, it's been even a whole nother level of difficulty because every day I'm reminded of something from her. Mm. You know, we lost our grandfather, which was devastating, but we came back to our homes and our families, and everything was the way it was prior to us going to his funeral or whatever. Now, I walk around my house and I see things that I see where she laid, or I see this or I see that. And that constant reminder, you know, it makes me feel, you know, even more hurt for my grandmother because she does the same thing with her husband.
Yeah.
And so, you know, I wanted to share a little bit about Maya and, some of our experiences, with her and, you know, I never thought, it would be as hard as what it has been, at losing her. But anyway, her name on her actual pedigree is, Grade A's Maya Baby Girl. We called her Baby Girl Maya, or just Maya. And she was born, May 24th, 2006. And so, you know, she just had her 13th birthday, basically. Is that right? 2006, 2019, 13 years. Mm-hmm. So she was 13 years old. She had tested positive for heartworms, even though she was on a heartworm preventative, five or six years ago. And we did some treatments on her, and she recovered. Everything was great. She never tested positive again. But you know, I can't help but think there was some damage that was done to her heart, you know, from those worms. She also had breast cancer, believe it or not. She went in for one of her checkups one day and they found kind of a tumor. And so they basically slit her from front leg to back leg and removed this tumor that kind of looked like a deer back strap, you know, they sewed her up. She recovered fully from that, still played, you know, she retired, I guess you could say, from hunting several years ago. And you know, I mean, she just was living the life. She was just an older dog and was laying around and playing a little bit. And when she went through the battle, which sounds weird, but when she went through the whole thing with the breast cancer, the vet told us that they didn't know how long she would live after that or if she'd survive the surgery or any of that kind of stuff, because she was, you know, she was getting up there in age. And I didn't know how I would handle the loss of a dog, which is the first dog that I've had for so long. So we got another puppy, and her name is Ellie. She's another black lab, and she's still with us running strong. But anyway, long story short is Maya's rear hips just started giving out on her. It was harder for her to get up to a point to where even in the evenings I'd have to lift her rear end up so that she could go outside and use the bathroom. And she was starting to have a little bit of problems eating. We went and took her to the vet, and you know, he said, I'm not going to tell you that it's time to put her to sleep, but if you wanted to, I would do it. A week later, that was the first of last week, so not even a week later. On Friday morning of that week, I got up, and she was laying on the floor in the living room, and I laid down beside her and kind of petted her, and she still wagged her tail, and you know, she'd still kind of lean over wanting you to pet her more. I spent time with her that morning. I went to work like I did every day, and I got a phone call from my wife probably noon and said, hey, if you can come home, you probably need to. Maya's not doing good. And she hadn't eaten that day, and it was really, really hard for her to get up now. She would take a few steps and then fall down, and I just felt like it was time. And at the moment, I guess I didn't realize the weight of the decision, but I felt like it was time that she was in enough pain. She was didn't have that quality of life like she should. And so I thought it was probably time to put her down. So I called the vet. I'm sitting at a restaurant with you, Paul.
Right.
And our two cousins in Tyler, Texas, which is about 45 minutes from my house. And I'm talking to my wife through text, and I said, okay, I'll call the vet. Well, before I even called the vet, I started tearing up, and I had to go to the bathroom because I'm sitting here in a crowded restaurant with you guys.
Right.
And I didn't say anything to y'all. I just got up and went to the bathroom.
Right.
And in that time, I talked to a friend of mine named James Everett. And I said, man, I said, did it kill you? And I hadn't even called the vet yet. Mm-hmm. You know, I'm dealing with this, wrestling with this decision. I said, James, I sent a text message to my buddy James Everett. I said, man, did it kill you when you had to put your dog down? And he typed out a long thing about, you know, it's hard, and you're the owner of this pet, and you're in charge of her quality of life, and, you know, blah, 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 blah. And he said, you know, I can't tell you yes or no, but that's something that I feel like you're going to know when it's time.
Mm.
And he said, and by the way, I'm tearing up right now just typing this.
Wow.
His dog's been gone for 3 years.
Yeah.
And so I made a phone call to the vet. I'm still in the bathroom. Y'all probably thought I was taking the most massive dump ever.
Yeah, I don't know.
I'm there,
yeah.
You know, and I'm in tears. I'm talking to the vet, and I said, man, I think it's time. And he said, okay. He said, no problem. We'll make it easy. He said, you come in anytime. I said, I'm in Tyler. I'm an hour out at least. He said, no problem. You know, you guys come in. When you come in, just tell the receptionist that you're here with Maya. They'll take you to the back. They'll hook up an IV to her, you know, and he just kind of started talking about what they're going to do. And, you know, he said she won't feel any pain, that her heart will probably stop beating before he's completely injected the medicine or whatever you want to call it. So I'm a freaking mess. I'm in the bathroom. I come out. My food has gotten to the table. And I eat like a couple of bites, and I tell Paul, I said, man, I got to go.
Yeah.
I said, just, you know, box mine up. Do whatever you want to do. I'm out of here. I start driving home. I call my wife. I say, I'm on my way. I've called the vet. I think this is just what probably needs to happen. And, of course, I'm a mess at this point. I'm worked up. I'm crying. You know, it's just it's rough because I know that when I get home, I'm going to have to take my dog to the vet to be put to sleep.
Mm-hmm.
So, anyway, long story short, she's breathing real hard. It's hard for her to breathe. She can't get up. And I get a phone call when I'm about 20 minutes from my house from my wife, and she says, baby, I'm sorry, Maya just passed away. And so, you know, it couldn't have happened any better way, I don't guess, you know, and I say that, I mean, she could still be alive, and that would be the best case scenario, but we have construction going on at our house. That was a Friday. The workers, for some reason, weren't there.
It was a Friday.
Well, yeah. They weren't there. My wife and three children were home, and they were able to just lay around and love on that dog.
Cool.
And Sydney, my middle child, was laying there with her. Maya was laying down. She wouldn't even hardly lift her head. I mean, it was getting bad. I mean, she went from being okay to 2 days later not being able to get up. I mean, it happened that quick. And Sydney reached down and kissed her on the head and got up and went into the other room. And not 15 seconds later, my wife came in and she had, and Maya had stopped breathing.
Wow.
Wow.
And so, you know, it's kind of like, I don't know. You know, some people argue back and forth about dogs and what they're aware of and what they aren't aware of. You know, in my mind, it makes it easier on me to think that Maya was laying there. She knew the time was coming, and she waited till everybody got out of the room before she let go.
Yeah.
So anyway, I got home and I went outside. We have a big red oak tree right beside our house, and I dug a deep, deep grave. And I took her bed that she laid on, which was the nastiest thing in the world, but it was her bed, and that's what she wanted to lay on all the time. And I laid it in the hole. I put Maya down. I covered her up with a blanket, and yeah, I buried her.
Wow.
I don't even know what to say about it, because yesterday, okay, today is this is Thursday, okay, so it's been 6 days. Yesterday was Wednesday, so that had been the fifth day. Yesterday was the first day that I didn't cry at all day.
Mm.
Over this dog, you know. Yeah. And it's funny. It's not funny, but, I would sit there, and I'd be crying, and I would tell myself or tell my wife or tell somebody else, you know, it's a dog. Why am I sitting here crying over it? But it was much more than that. I mean, she was a part of our family for 13 years. She was there every single day. And, you know, yeah, we didn't hunt for the past 5 years or whatever, but she was still a part of that family.
Right? Yeah.
Yeah,
you,
so,
yeah, you had Maya, man, before at least two of your daughters.
Yeah, so I got Maya when Abby was first born.
Yeah.
And so Abby, you know, as far as she can remember back, we've had Maya.
Yeah.
And it's crazy because when something like this happens, the first thing you do is start going through photographs and looking for stuff that you and, you know, moments that y'all spent together or whatever. And as I'm finding all these photographs, you know, I see my kids at young age, at different stages of their life, and how this dog was a part of their lives at that moment. And, you know, it's just, man, it's crazy how big a part of your family, you know, these dogs or pets or whatever can be.
Yeah.
And I'll be honest, I never thought it would bother me as bad as it has.
Mm-hmm.
It blows my mind. You know, two or three days ago, I'd walk past her grave and just start crying. Mm-hmm. And what broke my heart is because this dog, who was a part of our family, and I'm not even going to say this dog anymore, but this girl who was a part of our family is laying in a hole beside my house all by herself. And it just tore me up inside. I mean, it's like the night I buried her, I told my wife, I was like, I'd give anything just to go dig her up and pet on her one more time.
Wow.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I know it's a little creepy.
No,
but
no,
it's
that just, ain't creepy, man.
It was a big, big deal. And sure. So, you know, Craig, you hunted with Maya and me when she was basically a started dog, which means she had, you know, her basic obedience done. She could mark, she could retrieve, she delivered a hand, she'd drop. Just kind of tell, and we got probably a whole lot more funny stories about her than we have successful, proud hunt moments, you know. But anyway, tell me just a little bit kind of about, if you don't mind, your memory of Maya and how, you know, times we had together.
Well, I think that as you're sitting here just even telling the story, you know, I remember when you got Maya. I mean, I remember when she came home. I remember, you know, just seeing her grow up and going to school and all the things that she learned and all the hunting times that we had together. But, you know, just hearing you talk and the grieving process that you're going through, before I get into the Maya talk, you know, my wife just recently lost her mom. And one of the things that hearing you talk is almost exactly what she went through in that process. I mean, it's two totally different things, but I mean, even the breathing, even the last few moments of life, it's crazy. But all I can tell you is that time does heal. Doesn't make it easier, but it does heal.
Yeah.
But it's going to be crazy for you because it's going to come in waves. The emotion's going to come back at different times and hit you when you least expect it. We're driving down the road the other day, and I look at my wife, and she's crying, and I'm like, what did I do now, you know? And I didn't do anything. It was a moment that she had thinking about her mom. So you're gonna wrestle and deal with those same things. But what an awesome dog. I mean, she was your dog, but I still kind of considered her my dog. I mean, because we hunted together. We were in the boats together. Sweet as could be, just tenderhearted. I mean, I remember her being too little to even jump in the back of the truck.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And you'd have to help get her up in there. And she loved to go for a ride. She loved to be with us wherever we were going and whatever we were doing. Even if we weren't going hunting, she wanted to be in the boat. She wanted to go scouting for ducks and riding around, and she absolutely loved it. So incredible, incredible animal. And I've got one that's 8 years old. Now she's a schnauzer. She's not a lab.
Right.
But
still
this
a
is,
dog.
But this same scenario, my kids know her. Molly, our dog, know her because of, you know, we've had her so long, and she's getting old, and you can see it. And it's one of those things that starts to kind of break you down and makes you want to love on them a little bit more and be with them and hang out with them. And we got our younger daughter a dog this past year and for Christmas, and I mean, I hate the thing.
Yeah.
It's just not – Molly is – she's kind of my dog, you know. And so when you have that connection with an animal, you know, only people who have animals will understand.
Yeah.
You know, it's kind of like your firstborn child.
Yeah.
It's just that connection that you have. So – but Maya was absolutely incredible. She loved to be out.
Incredible. She wasn't like – Grand Master Hunting Retriever incredible.
No.
You know?
Good dog incredible.
Yeah.
Just an all around.
Loved my kids. Loved every, you know.
Sweet as could be.
Yeah.
Yep.
So, I don't know, man. It's nuts. What, you got any memories from hunting with her or anything like that? I mean, I know, like I said, we're going to have a lot more funny stories than we have of successful, proud hunting moments, but. Yeah.
I remember being in the boat, and it wasn't – I think it was pre-hunting season. And one of the things that you had begun to work with her on was just getting her to jump out of the boat.
Yeah.
And so we were out, and you were throwing a bumper to her in the water, and maybe even a frozen duck. I don't remember, but I think it was a bumper. And, you know, it was a few of those. We'd throw it out there, and she'd look at us like,
I ain't jumping out of this boat.
What do you want me to do here? You know, but I remember us being there and seeing just that intuition in her kick in, and when she actually did jump out of the boat and went swimming. Now she had a little hard time finding it, but as we kept working with her and kept working with her and kept working with her, I mean, she just got it down.
Yeah, she's finding those marks. You know, learning. Hey, I need to pay attention because this is going to hit the water. I need to remember where it's at, you know, and
introducing the first gunshot,
you
know, the whole kind of thing where she was learning the sounds of hunting.
Yeah.
And, she was great at it. It was cool to see her come from, you know, some dogs are just, I hate to say it, born with it, but some dogs, they're going to be hunters no matter what. And Maya needed a little bit more work, but when you saw the process of her catching on, it was really awesome to see.
Yeah You know, we took her, funny story, I was telling somebody the other day, we took her, like you said, everywhere. If we were in the boat, she was with us, and you and I spent a lot of time in a boat together. Not even just in duck season, but we would fish all the time. You know, we were running trot lines all the time, and I was telling somebody the story. Jimmy Dayton, one of our old friends in Texarkana, would tell us that Zote soap was great catfish bait.
Right.
And this is like bar soap that you buy. I think we had to go to Albertsons to find it. It's not like it's on the shelf, but it's like a pink soap that I don't even remember if it smelled like bubble gum or what, but that's what it reminded me of. And we'd be cutting that crap up and, you know, putting on hooks, and we caught a few fish off of it. But what we started doing is using hot dog weenies, and we'd do Zote soap, hot dog weenie. Zote soap, hot dog weenie. Just alternate them off back and forth. I think what the deal with the soap was, it stayed on the hook a lot longer. Yeah. You know, those hot dog weenies got a little soggy, I guess, over time and would just kind of fall off or whatever. But I'm baiting hooks in the front of the boat. You're sitting in the back of the boat cutting up bait. Maya's sitting there. And I told somebody, and if I've got it wrong, correct me, but you turned around to adjust the motor or something just for like a brief second. And on a ice chest, we had a bunch of hot dog weenies cut up. You turned around for a brief second, turned back around, and they all were gone.
Gone.
Yeah.
Absolutely gone.
That dog could eat, son.
Absolutely gone. Yeah, you were pulling the lines and baiting the hooks, and I was handing you hot dogs.
Yeah.
And so, you know, had cooler out, little pocket knife, cutting up the hot dogs, and didn't even think twice about it because we'd actually tied her up because she was so hyper at this age. She wanted to be everywhere. She wanted to be, you know, on top of TJ while he's trying to do this, and there's hooks, and you're trying to be careful. And so she's tied up, and I kind of look at him, and he kind of looks at me, and he goes, "Where's the bait?" I said, "Your damn dog ate it."
It's gone. Yeah,
you know, gone. And she'd eaten through the rope. It was just a little, like, I think,
Like
paracord or 550, whatever. I mean, it's just a lot, just to keep her in her spot. But she'd eaten through the rope and had eaten all the hot dogs. I mean,
one swoop of the mouth.
Yeah, yeah.
So, I remember we were talking about, you know, she'd be in the back seat and we would be going duck hunting or whatever. We talked about, you know, we'd always stop at this gas station called OT's on Highway 67. Yep. We'd fill the boat up and then we would go inside and they had like breakfast.
Sausage, egg, and cheese sandwiches.
Yeah, sandwiches. So like two toasts.
So freaking good.
Yeah, dude, I'm telling you. It'd be like two pieces of toast with eggs, a fried egg, and then sausage and cheese on it. Mm. And, dude, they were like, I mean, it just was, they're phenomenal.
Wrapped in saran wrap, sitting in a hot box, but it didn't matter. They were so good.
They
were
good.
You had to get two of them because you're going to eat the first one nonstop.
But we're sitting there, and we'd be opening up our sandwiches sitting in the front seat, and Maya would just be like, all up on your butt trying to get some of that sandwich.
Yeah. Head coming over the shoulder.
Yeah.
What you got there?
Yeah. And then, you know, I guess I said there's not many proud moments. And I don't even know if you remember this hunt, man. But this one I think it was one of the first times that just you and I went out. And we went out one evening, which duck hunters don't hunt a lot in the evenings. It's more of a mornings, you know.
And I actually enjoy an evening.
I do too. Yeah. Which, you know, you don't see the amount of birds, but I don't know, man. It seemed like it was early afternoon or early evening, you know, probably an hour or so before dark. Mm-hmm. So the sun's still up high. And we were sitting, we'd gotten out of the boat, and we were sitting on the edge of kind of a point in a bunch of buck brush.
Yeah.
And we had Maya there. And, of course, Maya's so excited. Yeah. I mean, that's how she was every time. When we went somewhere, she was hyper, but she was just excited to be there.
Yeah.
And she knows why we're there. She knows we're hunting.
Yeah.
And so she's sitting there, and, you know, you're saying heel, and she's sitting beside you, but she's
fidgety,
yeah, very fidgety. Yeah. She whimpers a little bit here and there because she's just ready to retrieve. She's ready for you to shoot a duck, and we ain't seen no ducks.
Right.
And we're sitting there just kind of, you know, waiting around looking, and here comes a lone, I want to say mallard, but it wasn't a mallard. It was just a lone gadwall.
Mm-hmm.
And a lone gadwall drake. Coming in, she checks out our decoys. I don't think we had a lot of decoys out. And she come in, check them out, turned around and started flying away. And I hit the call, just rant, 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 yep. Rant, rant. And that duck turned right back around. It was so perfect. I mean, it was like what you see on videos and crap. Yeah. And that duck turned back around. She came over and I told, you know, you shot it. She hit the water. And Maya, like, I think she had a little problem finding it because I think it went over to the left of us, but she did retrieve it, came back. That was awesome because it was just textbook.
Yeah.
You know,
and I don't know, that may have been one of her first.
I think it probably was,
you know, first time we thought everything added up for her.
And you mentioned we tied her up in the boat. We had tied her up at this spot too, because she was just so fidgety.
Yeah.
And you know, you and I are looking for ducks and calling and this and that, you know, I can't sit here and jack with this dog.
Right.
And we had used a like a lead rope for like a cow or a horse, so it's like a freaking big rope.
Yeah,
she had chewed through that sumbitch too.
Dang.
Yeah, she was all about, like, if you tie, she was all about no restrictions.
Yeah. Wow.
You
know?
But it was just funny, you know, and it's like, it's one of those deals that we were probably pretty frustrated with the dog at one point in time. But I know after that hunt, we were laughing about
it,
you know, just because it's just, it's an experience, you know, and it wasn't the most perfect experience, but it was fun. And we had this dog with us and it was great.
Yeah. Well, once you, for me, you know, when we didn't have a dog and you and I would hunt together before she, when she was young, I mean, it was, we'd look at each other and it's like, are you going out there or am I going out there?
A lot of people don't realize Wright Patman Lake is like, it's flood control for the Sulphur River in Texas. And the Sulphur River is called the Sulphur River because it's not awesome. It's not clean. It's not, I mean, it's clean, but it's just muddy water. And all that silt comes out from the Sulphur River and dumps in this backwater that we hunted on Wright Patman. And so the silt, I mean, it's like knee-deep mud.
Yeah.
It's the worst crap to try to walk in ever. And so that's why we were like, dude, we got to get a dog. Of course, we're duck hunters too, and so you got to have a dog if you're a duck hunter. So,
And the first time you hunt with a dog, a good dog, it'll wreck your life. It's like going from public water to private water. When you get out there, it's so completely different that you're not having to fight anybody off and do any of that kind of stuff. But when you bring a dog into the equation and that dog wants to work and go, and that's what Maya turned into. Mm-hmm. She turned into a dog that was able to do that.
Yeah.
And it wrecked my hunting passion for going to public water and not having a dog. When you know, little known fact here, I don't walk well in mud at all. I matter of fact, I usually sink, and the boat better be close by for to be able to pull my fat butt out of the mud. But no, she was a great hunter.
Yeah, she was just, you know, and more importantly, she was just a great dog in general. You know, I mean, she loved on my kids.
Right.
She loved being loved on.
Right.
She never was aggressive to any of my kids.
Right.
Ever.
Or guest.
Yeah, or guest. I mean, Abby was 2 years old, and Maya just loved on her.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, and I know that's something that a lot of people probably take for granted, but I mean, kind of going back to some stuff that you and I talked about, they're still wild animals, so to speak, you know,
and
they have their own will and desires and stuff, but she loved everybody.
Yeah.
You know, I remember taking her in the boat and just spending all day with her in the boat, you know, just hanging out, you know, pulling over every now and then for her to go pee or poop, you know, whatever. Just, man, I'm telling you, talking about the grieving process, I feel like now I'm focused more on the positives and the times that we spent together, when 4 or 5 days ago I was focused on
the loss.
I can't believe she's gone.
Right.
You know, and I like this a lot better than I liked that.
Yeah, of course, yeah.
You know, just because I'm able to really just focus on who she was and how she was part of our family.
Yeah,
and so
that's beautiful, man. And from an outsider looking in, you know, of not experiencing those hunting experiences with y'all, with Maya, what was so cool about it from what I saw, I remember when you bought Maya, and it was, I mean, I don't know if you're comfortable with me sharing this, correct me if I'm wrong, but it was definitely an investment. I mean, this wasn't quote-unquote.
So I don't remember exactly how much Maya cost.
But I remember it was...
How much, Craig?
3.
Okay. Well, I didn't... I
remember it was an investment for you. And well, at that time, you know...
I didn't have any money at
exactly.
That
I think that included her going to school.
Yeah. So right. I went and I got her from a guy named Roger Gray in Texarkana. And I don't know how I'd met him, but I'd met him through some other people. And he was a dog trainer, and he had dogs and all this kind of stuff. And I want to say something that he said a minute ago, but, you know, I've always been involved in some kind of tech. You know, I mean, right now I'm not. My job is in the oil and gas industry, but, you know, I host a podcast, and we don't have any help setting all this crap up. It's just from our experience and audio. And so I've always been, you know, to where I could work on a computer or whatever. And this guy... Man, I don't even remember how it all came about, but I met him. He said he had a dog available. I went and saw her, and of course, anything that could sit still and then something drop, and I say, you know, Maya, and she runs out there and gets it and brings it back to me. Hey, that makes my life 1,000 times easier.
Yeah. Right.
And I was like, what do I got to do to make this happen? And so I ended up paying him some cash down. Then I built him a website,
yep.
which I didn't even know how to build a website. But I thought, awesome. I can probably figure this out.
Well, you did.
I did, and I figured it out, and I built him a dang good website.
We're not talking about a MySpace page.
Yeah, no.
Or an AOL homepage.
Yeah, no, it was an actual, I mean, and I remember it took a lot of time for me to sit and try to figure out how to build that. I mean, it took me probably a month to build it, and then I paid him some more money as well. And so that price of the website, I think I told him I said I'll give me $500 off and I'll build a website, which when I should have said is
$1,500.
We'll just split it. Okay?
Like 50%
yeah. Even swap.
Yeah, even yeah. But anyway, you know, I remember bringing her home, and one of the last things he said to me was don't shoot her. And I was like, "What?" He's like, "Yeah, you wouldn't believe how many accidents happen where people are shooting dogs.
Ooh.
You know, where they go out to retrieve or something and some more birds fly over and they get." And I was like, "I'm not going to shoot my dog, dude."
Yeah.
So, yeah, that definitely gave me a
decoys,
big.
Decoys, maybe.
Yeah. I'll shoot some decoys.
But, you know, I was saying all that to say that, you know, it started out like that for you. But then, you know, with the transitions of your, because, man, you've gone through a lot of transitions while Ma was alive.
Yeah, I have.
I mean, a lot of being a dad, of being, you know, job changes, life changes, all this stuff. And it was so cool to see her in your life through those transitions to where, you know, she became a staple in your family.
Yeah.
No, and that's what's awesome.
Yeah. She definitely was a staple in our family.
Yeah.
And that's what it was. The dog trainer, he told me something, and I want to talk about this for a second, but he told me the reason why he was, and she wasn't a puppy. I mean, she was like a year old when I got her.
Yeah.
Okay. And she had already had work and all that kind of, she'd already been through some training. And he told me, he said, "She's not going to make a champion, so I don't want to keep her. I want to get her to somebody who will hunt with her." Dude, what he don't realize is that she was a champion to us.
That's awesome.
And, dude, I just don't think, you know, I love Ellie. I love my new lab. You know, she's 2 years old. She does great. We're currently training her to be a shed dog because we're mainly deer hunting now with my kids. And, you know, we've talked about it before, where deer shed their antlers on our lease. It's the nastiest, roughest places around that I don't want to go.
Right.
And so I'm hoping that Ellie doesn't mind going to those places. But that's what we're doing now, is she's in training to recover sheds. And, you know, I love Ellie. My point of getting her was to help me deal with a loss of Maya. And, you know, when she was dealing with the breast cancer stuff, but now I can say that nothing can replace Maya.
Of course.
You know, and Ellie being there is cool, just because I can play with her, which takes my mind off of the loss of Maya, but it definitely does not replace Maya.
Yeah.
You know, and it's funny because now I think back and looking at pictures and stuff, I mean, Maya, her personality just showed through in her body language and everything, which is crazy that a dog, but you know, I look at a time that we took a picture and I can tell by the look on her face how she feels at that moment, if that makes any sense.
Sure.
You know, and that is, looking at it now, I'm saying that captures what she was feeling in that moment.
Yeah.
So I have no doubt that Maya had a good life and that she was happy. I don't have any regrets with her. Of course, we always regret that we wish we would have spent more time with them, and that's people too. But, man, I just don't have any regrets with her. I mean, she lived a good life. She was loved by us, by my kids, by my wife, by Craig, you know, friends, whatever. And, you know, I mean, it's definitely sad, but I'm super, super thankful for the time that I had with her. And the experiences that you know, I mean, she's part of who I am now.
Yeah. Absolutely.
And I totally agree with you. When I was going to ask you, you think anything will ever replace her? Because when I look at Molly at her age and the connection that she and I have, the new dog won't replace her.
No.
You know what I mean? I mean, it's cool. We got another dog. But there's just something about that connection that you can have with an animal that it's weird, man. It's a bond.
Yeah.
You know, they know you and you know them. You can look at them. And they know what you're thinking.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah. You know, Maya, her pedigree isn't incredible. It's good.
Right.
It's good. And she's got lots of titled dogs, you know, in her family. But Ellie is the cream of the crop. Ellie's grandfather was Boomer, who Chris Aiken at Webfooted Kennels, which he come out with the Duck Dog Basics DVDs and all that kind of stuff. Because that's what, you know, when Maya got sick with the breast cancer stuff, I was like, well, I'm buying the best freaking dog I can find to replace her or to, you know, whatever. And so I contacted Chris Aiken, which was crazy because Chris Aiken's a rock star in the training world. And I sent him a message or something. He sent me a cell phone number. We texted back and forth. And, you know, I told him what I was looking for in a dog. I didn't want one that was just super crazy, you know, balls to the wall, hyper, you know, and this and that. And he said, you know, you can't guarantee how a dog's going to be, but what I can guarantee is I got this mama and I got this daddy and they're both this way. Chances are the pups are going to be that way.
Right.
And so, and I told him, I said, I want a dog that Boomer, because Boomer's like the ESPN dog of the century type deal.
The Chuck Norris of dogs.
Yeah, no doubt. And so Boomer's her grandfather. So she, her pedigree is a lot better than what Maya's was, but she'll never replace she'll never replace Maya.
Sure.
Absolutely.
You know, she may be a better duck dog. She may better be a good shed dog, but, you know, she won't be that staple in our family, or she'll be a different type of staple than what Maya was.
Yeah. Excuse me. And I guess it's probably like your first kid.
Yeah.
You know, because when you have your first kid, you're sensitive to everything, you know, they're coughing, they're whatever, they're running. So you're learning how to be a parent or how to be a dog owner, and just like you were with Maya.
Yeah.
You know, I think that's where the connection is she was your first.
Yeah.
You know, and now you got, you know, or kid number two, kid number three. I mean, the passy falls on the floor, you wipe it on your jeans, you put it back in your mouth. It's just kind of like, let's freaking go on, you know? And so when you have more dogs, I think you've already learned some of those things and you know what to expect. And so it's a different process that you're going through, and nothing can replace that first dog.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure. Well, you know, we were going to do a part two, or we were going to just continue this episode and start talking about barbecue, but I mean, we've talked for 45 minutes here. We're just going to wrap this up and let this be the Maya episode.
Perfect.
Because, you know, she definitely deserves her own episode, you know?
Absolutely.
So, guys, thanks for listening. I hope we didn't cause you to be too depressed and too sad, because that's not what it was about.
Yeah, but, and I'm sure there's going to be a part two with Craig where we talk about barbecue and his hunting experiences. But be sure to follow him at Foran Family Barbecue on Instagram.
Yeah.
To get your mouth watering all the time, because I'll send him private messages, be like, want, need.
Yeah. So anyway, guys, again, thanks for listening. You know, this is in memory of Maya and everything that, you know, she was a part of our family. If you ain't got a dog, don't let this frustrate you, or don't let this make you not want one.
It encourages you.
But it should encourage you, because,
sure.
Yeah, dude, absolutely. They are definitely incredible to have, to hunt with, and just an amazing part of your family. So anyway, guys, thanks for listening. Be sure to follow us on Instagram. Check out the YouTube channel. Check out our website, www.thehuntcast.net, and we'll talk to you later. Thanks.
Thank you for listening to The Huntcast. Stay up to date with all new episodes, special guests, and appearances by following us on your favorite social media platform. Search The Huntcast on Facebook or on Twitter and Instagram at The Huntcast.